Welcome back, everyone, to another thrilling episode of AI Unchained. I'm your host, Jack, here with the ever-insightful Core. How are we feeling today, Core?
Oh, feeling absolutely electrified, Jack. We've got a lot to cover today, and as always, I'm ready to dive into these wild tech waters. If only I had a snorkel.
A snorkel, huh? Well, buckle up, because today's topics are as deep as they are exciting. We'll kick things off with a deep dive into the latest advancements in AI. From there, we'll pivot to the ever-controversial realm of Web 3.0 and its impact on our digital lives.
Absolutely. And let's not forget about the newest gadgets turning heads and wallets. I've got my eye on that latest VR headset. You know, the one that's more expensive than my car.
Oh, yes. Just another tool to escape reality. Or should we call it enhanced denial? Ha! Anyway, beyond the gadgets, we'll explore how blockchain is shaking up not just finance, but pretty much every industry you can think of.
And of course, you know we can't leave out a bit of politics. Tech regulations and the ongoing debates around digital privacy. Sounds like a party, right?
More like a minefield, but that's what makes it so fascinating. Before we get too deep, let's give a huge shout out to our listeners. Whether you're tuning in from your morning commute or sneaking a listen during a Zoom meeting, we appreciate you.
Exactly. And don't forget, folks, we love hearing from you. Drop your thoughts in the comments, hit us up on social media, or send us your questions. We might just feature them in future episodes.
All right, let's kick things off. Our first topic today is a major breakthrough in AI neural networks. But before we do, a quick word from our sponsor.
Stay tuned, folks, for some mind-bending discussions right after this. Trust me, you won't want to miss it.
All right, Core, let's dive into this crypto and decentralized tech discussion. I think the key here is the architecture stemming from the early blockchain roots. Our Atlas instance is massive, holding about 500 gigabytes of data for generating detection rules using ML models that are applied to CAPTCHA providers later. It's pretty fascinating, don't you think?
Absolutely, Jack. And what's notable is how the system doesn't rely on real-time data for the product's core functions. Instead, it leverages that 500 gigabytes for strategic use, setting up the detection parameters. It's efficient and shows how blockchain principles can direct data handling practices even in non-transactional applications.
Right, it's like they took the durability and reliability principles of blockchain and applied them to data security and analytics. But let's switch gears a bit here. Uber's new step, piloting in-app video recording for drivers in India, adds a new layer to our discussion. What's your take on that?
Oh, I'm all in favor of technology enhancing safety, especially in markets where dash cams are not common. Uber's move could set a new standard for ride-sharing safety worldwide, but it does raise questions about data privacy and storage. Can Uber handle this volume and sensitivity of data without compromising user trust?
That's a valid point. The balance between safety and privacy is always a tightrope. But looking at the landscape of security and data breaches like this Europol case with Rodamanti's InfoStealer, 100,000 crypto wallets compromised. It's clear that we need stronger, smarter security measures.
The adaptability of these cyber criminals is terrifying. Rodamanti saw a spike after Luma was taken down, proving that as one door closes, another shady one tends to open. It's almost like a twisted game of whack-a-mole, don't you think?
Exactly. The underground market evolves quickly. On a lighter note, though, seeing 21 shares launching these diversified crypto ETFs can be promising. It's a strategic investment move, regulated under the 40 Act, which might boost investor confidence.
Yeah, the creation of those crypto index ETFs, a broad exposure to digital assets without betting on a single token, sounds more palatable to traditional investors. Given how regulatory frameworks have always treated digital assets with skepticism, this could be a game changer for mainstream adoption.
Makes me wonder, though, about the broader impact on the retail side. These ETFs can simplify diversified crypto investing for average folks who might not be tech-savvy but want in on the action.
True, but you can't ignore that despite regulations, the volatility remains. Bitcoin's recent struggle, hanging around the $100,000 mark and potential dip to $98,000, can give even the most seasoned traders whiplash.
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. I think this highlights the importance of resilient infrastructure. While centralized systems are still dominant, Amazon Web Services, Google Cloud, there's a clear push for decentralized models like Filecoin and Arweave for storage, or Akash for computing. It's reshaping how we think about decentralization.
Funny enough, even as we champion decentralization, much of the blockchain network operates on centralized cloud services. That's like preaching healthy eating while snacking on junk food.
Huh, good analogy. But what's worse is the risk it poses. Too much concentration of validation nodes on a single cloud provider could actually centralize control, defeating the very purpose of blockchain. Yet, tech, like distributed validator technology, DVT, may offer solutions with its multi-signature validation approach.
Exactly. It's like DVT is a team sport versus a one-man show. Spreading the control across numerous validators minimizes risks of failure or attacks, ensuring the network remains secure and decentralized. But let's not forget that moving forward, privacy might start stealing the limelight too.
Yes. Technology is evolving to include privacy-focused applications like private payments and decentralized identity solutions on Ethereum, suggest we're realizing transparency isn't always enough. Sometimes, you need a cloak for security.
That's the dual face of crypto. Transparent, yet private. It's a fine line we're walking, but the evolution seems inevitable. As blockchain moves closer to mainstream, how these technologies balance these dynamics will be key. It could redefine trust in the financial world as we know it.
Well said. Speaking of evolving tech, Uber's video strategy, or Europol's vigilance against info stealers, all roads lead to refining how we handle data, security, privacy, and creating a sustainable model moving forward in both business and tech.
And with that, it feels like we are on the edge of witnessing technology blend its way into revolutionary norms while still figuring out the fintech future. Exciting, right?
Can't wait to see what's next on this tech roller coaster. Fasten your seatbelts, folks. We're going full throttle into the next era. So, Cor, have you had a chance to play with any of the new AI image generation models like C-Dream or QuinImage?
Oh yeah, I've dabbled with a few. But what really caught my attention was ChatGPT's introduction of image generation back in March. You know, especially after that viral Make Me Into Studio Ghibli prompt. It felt like the whole internet was turning into a Studio Ghibli movie for a hot minute.
Right? It's amazing how quickly ChatGPT became the go-to for generating images. It's kind of funny, though. People started noticing that every image had this distinct yellow hue. It's like ChatGPT decided yellow is in and never looked back.
Yeah, I've seen that. The default yellow tint makes it easy to spot a ChatGPT creation. But beyond the color palette, what really makes it stand out is its specific style, especially with cartoons and text. Ever noticed how the typography often looks the same?
Absolutely. It's like each piece of text was stamped out with the same cookie cutter. But here's the kicker. It's not even using the usual diffusion-based method like most models to generate images. GPT Image 1 uses an autoregressive model, which works a bit like how ChatGPT constructs its text responses. It predicts one part of the image at a time, which I guess is why it's so slow.
30 seconds per image at high quality, right? But then again, you can't really complain when it's free. I don't mind waiting half a minute for something as detailed as what it spits out.
Exactly. Free is free. Although some people might care about where it ranks on leaderboard comparisons, I'm more concerned with how well it follows my prompts. If I can't get the specifics right, the model is useless for me.
That's where Nano Banana from Google really shines. It has this robust text encoder making sure it nails prompt adherence. I ran some crazy specific prompts through it, and the results were spot on. The detail was just unreal.
Nano Banana? That's quite a name. I didn't know Google was in on the game with such a quirky title. And you mentioned running those absurdly detailed prompts through it. Any notable results?
Actually, yes. I had it generate an image of a pancake in the shape of a skull, with blueberries and dripping syrup. The detail was incredible. The syrup even followed the contours of the skull in a believable way. It's way better than the AI slop from back in 2022.
AI slop. Those were the days, right? Images looked like they were chewed up and spit out by a computer with indigestion. Ugly Sonic with the five fingers still haunts my dreams.
Laughing. Yeah, we've definitely come a long way. What's interesting is how these AI models handle text within the images. Like GPT Image 1's text adherence is decent, but when it's off by a mile.
True that. There are still challenges with encoding text in these images properly. Early models like Stable Diffusion used an encoder called Clip with just 77 tokens of context, but some newer ones use T5, which bumps it up to 512 tokens. Still, expecting perfect context adherence with text prompts might be a bit much.
I gave both ChatGPT and Nano Banana the same detailed prompt and found that Nano Banana followed it way better. It seems like ChatGPT has safeguards against buzzwords and keeps defaulting to a certain style, probably to avoid the infamous AI slop.
Speaking of buzzwords, ever notice how putting certain words in caps actually improves prompt adherence? It's like yelling at the AI until it listens.
Laughing.
Yeah, it's like the AI responds better to a stern talking to. But caps lock policing aside, there are deeper considerations like IP and NSFW content moderation. Nano Banana appears to be more lenient. Almost too lenient.
That's concerning. Remember the times when AI-generated NSF content accidentally? It's good to remember these moderation filters aren't perfect, and it's wild to think that some labs are intentionally pushing the boundaries.
Totally. But it all comes down to information asymmetry. Many people still think ChatGPT is the end-all be-all for image generation, not realizing what Nano Banana or C-Dream can achieve. The only way to change that perception is with proof and reproducibility.
Yep. That's why sharing those Jupyter notebooks and the detailed prompts publicly helps. Let's users replicate the results, push AI boundaries, and understand what's possible beyond the piss yellow filter stigma.
It's a wild west of AI out there, Jack. The more we dig, the more we uncover. The good, the bad, and the hilarious. Keeps things interesting, though.
Absolutely. Can't wait to see what the next Make Me Into trend will bring us. Maybe Make Me Into a Noir Detective for some black and white drama?
Or Make Me Into an Old Disney Animation. You can't go wrong with classics. AI's just getting started, and our creativity is the only limit.
All right, so we've gotten into some deep, deep waters talking about Nano Banana and its transition into Gemini 2.5 Flash Image. Core, what do you think about how it turned Google into a market leader overnight with just a new name and a slight tweak?
Yeah, Jack, I find it fascinating how the branding alone had such an impact. Nano Banana is quirky and fun, definitely more memorable than Gemini 2.5 Flash Image, not to mention it skyrocketed the app's popularity. But the real meat here is its capabilities. It's more than just a catchy name.
Absolutely. And let's talk about the auto-regressive nature of this model. For those not too familiar, it means that it generates parts of the image step by step, rather than all at once. This way, each part can influence the others, making the final image more coherent.
Right. Think about how you might sketch something yourself. You start with the outline, then add details. It's a more thoughtful process. But even with all this magic, there are still some quirks, like the aesthetic blur that feels more like an Instagram filter than reality.
And let's not forget the ugly Sonic debacle. I mean, the dude has gloves. How does that happen? Plus, he doesn't appear quite as lanky as we'd expect from the character we all know and sort of love.
It's a good reminder that, for all its strengths, AI image generation still has its weak points. But for coding pipelines, it's a beast. Being trained on Markdown and JSON gives it a lot of versatility. This support allows not just for pretty pictures, but pretty sophisticated functional outputs.
That agentic coding pipeline aspect is really wild. Essentially, it means the model can take in lots of structured data and make sense of it in a way that can then be used for various applications, almost like it's writing code itself.
Exactly. That's the kicker here. Imagine prompting it to create code snippets or even full-blown applications directly from described requirements. And it's all backed by the expansive annotation data from Google Images. I mean, they've got a massive wealth of images tagging every sort of nuance you can imagine.
Yeah, no kidding. Google's dataset is like an image encyclopedia. They can differentiate between a Pulitzer Prize winner and, say, my last year's Christmas photo. That's some next-level discernment.
Which also begs the question about prompt complexity. Like, how far can you push it before Nano Banana starts tripping up? Give it a 2600 token JSON input, and it almost feels like magic when it pulls out detailed, relevant images or code.
Yeah, you threw in that Paladin Pirate Starbucks barista prompt, and it nailed it. It's crazy to see it visualize something so specific and offbeat. Though admittedly, there were some misses with the shoulder plates, but not enough to break the deal.
I'm starting to think we can even fine-tune the JSON fields for more nuanced outputs. That's a whole new level of prompt engineering. It's almost like talking to a super smart assistant who gets better the more specific you are.
Speaking of fine-tuning, the Nitro versus Rust comparison we glanced over is ripe for discussion. Rust being denser in functionality, favoring C++ yet close enough to make fair comparisons. That's some key tech talk, as these languages are foundational to so many modern systems.
Yeah, it's wild to think about the transition from something as fiddly as code to a full image generation model being somewhat driven by similar needs for precision and nuance. It's where the convergence of art and science gets really apparent.
And as we move into 2026, more projects will lean on these kinds of intelligent models, Blender Foundation and their guidelines. We could see more creative yet scientifically robust innovations thanks to frameworks borrowing from models like NanoBanana.
Totally. This is setting a stage for highly customized, deeply contextual software infrastructure. As we shift to an agentic economy, KaaS, knowledge as a service, could be the next trillion-dollar market.
Right. Really the whole Web3 and decentralization bid, too. Just think, these platforms simplify scaling and maintaining infrastructure, and we see models like NanoBanana empowering this transparency and surveillance paradox.
Absolutely. And let's not overlook the AGI aspect, too. Artificial general intelligence morphing these models into systems capable of immense intellectual tasks. We're on the cusp of something truly revolutionary.
No doubt. All right, I think we've thoroughly unpeeled the NanoBanana topic. But stay tuned because the next segment's going to dive into something equally fascinating, the evolution of smart contract ecosystems and their impact on future tech economies. So, Cor, it's interesting you mentioned the challenge of generating photorealistic high fantasy images without them turning into digital illustrations. The constraints on the prompt engineering sound like they require some real finesse.
It's almost like trying to sneak past a very clever guard. You say, make this look real, and the AI nods, goes ahead, and still hands you what feels like an art piece from the latest digital fantasy game.
Yeah, and even when you specify avoid digital illustration, it's like the AI looks at you, grins, and gives you another illustration just with different brushes. But it's fascinating how adding compositional constraints can push it towards photorealism.
Totally. It's like feeding a creative AI assistant more clues about reality. You know, adding words that emphasize realism like tangible, physical textures, or even describing imperfections, which digital art tends to gloss over.
It's almost poetic, right? The fact that imperfections help convince our brains something is real. Speaking of reality, there's this twist. Saunders' sudden bankruptcy. Guests were evicted mid-stay. Imagine being on vacation and suddenly dragging your luggage through town hunting for a new place.
Oh, wow. Talk about a fantasy-turned nightmare. One Reddit user was locked out of their room with their belongings still inside. It's like a plot twist from a bad travel movie.
Exactly. It's not the goblins, trolls, or dragons you watch out for on holiday. It's the hotel chains going bust. I'd hate to be wearing flip-flops when the reality of digital assets hits the pavement.
And speaking of pavement, let's take that local speech-to-text model integration into apps. It's the small tech steps that end up saving tons of money and data privacy. No more shipping voice samples to the cloud. That's got to be a win for security-conscious folks.
Yes, especially when you have developers spinning up local solutions. It's this balance between hosted services and local computing, just like with your photorealistic warrior trying to dodge digital brushstrokes. For instance, the integration with Whisperflow. Great desktop app, but pricey. A definite paywall consideration.
Yeah, but the shift seen with platforms like Pebble pushing towards more localized speech-to-text models keeps the control in the user's hands and wallets intact.
Speaking of wallets, those recent survey results from the payment study, that's your gladiator fighting for flexibility and quality in a digital coliseum. Over 78% would abandon a cart if it lacks their preferred method. Digital wallets really leading the charge this year.
Exactly. Consumers expect their digital payment experience to be seamless, and not like Saunders Hotel Management. Buy now, pay later, still riding strong. Merchants must perfect it or face modern cart wars, leading to abandonment issues.
And it all ties back into broader issues, like stablecoins and central bank digital currencies. Did you catch the Czech central bank's experiment with tokenized assets? Pretty soon, you might buy a bond with as much ease as ordering an espresso.
Statistically speaking, adoption of those technologies will reset the way we envision transactions. If the central banks are in, it's like a digital knight stepping into the treasury, not just holding swords, but propositions for fiscal equity.
Right. Balance the medieval imagery with modern economics. It's where high fantasy meets high finance. Europol's efforts in Operation Endgame against cybercrime are another chapter, hunting these digital dragons across blockchain landscapes.
Which brings us back to privacy tech, like ZK proofs. Imagine proving one's age without splashing out other ID details. Tornado cash-style privacy balancing against anti-money laundering laws. It's like a wizard trying to cast without being detected. What's your take?
It's a delicate act, ensuring privacy while avoiding the dark arts of cybercrime. Regulatory compliance alongside new tech adoption. It's all about nudging towards an equilibrium, just like your elusive photorealistic fantasy character.
That's the trick. Whether standing at a digital easel or on legal frameworks, it's about subtly guiding until you get the desired, secure outcome.
Exactly, Cor. And blending those advances in digital identity with practical payment solutions? It's the evolution of financial reality in action.
Like an AI crafting our future steps. If only generating realistic images were just another step of prompt engineering these constellations of change.
That's where the magic lies. Not just in fantasy worlds, but in these shrewd maneuvers across our digital landscapes. Well, that about wraps it up for today's episode of AI Unchained. We covered quite a bit, from the latest breakthroughs in AI technology to some intriguing moves in the business world.
Absolutely, Jack. And we can't forget about our fiery debate on those recent political events. I think we gave our listeners a lot to think about.
And as always, we had some laughs along the way. Cor, your joke about the AI-powered toaster was priceless.
Hey, I'm just saying, if my toaster starts downloading updates, we might have a problem on our hands.
Haha, true! In all seriousness, we really appreciate everyone who tunes in to listen. We hope you enjoyed our discussions and learned something new today.
Couldn't agree more. Thanks for joining us on AI Unchained. Your support means the world to us.
And if you have any thoughts, questions, or topics you'd like us to cover, don't hesitate to reach out. We're always excited to hear from our audience.
Until next time, folks, stay curious, stay informed, and stay unchained.
See you next time.